Greetings and salutations. It's the Redford Cowboy talking to you. So I'm going to fast forward now to 1991. I'm 12 years old, living at 7 in Farmington, and I could have access to hop the wall in my backyard, and I would be in the Kmart parking lot. So around this time, I would do just that. I would jump the wall. I'd go to Kmart. I'd walk all the way to the back to the music section, and they had a display there. They had shelves where the CDs and the cassettes would be on the right once you got back deeper into that section. But they had a little kiosk or a stand where the latest and the greatest releases were. And back then they had this beautiful little thing called cassette singles. This was before CD singles. Maybe they had CDs at the time, CD singles. But a cassette single was one song on one side and one song on another on the opposite side. Could have been like a remix. And it's probably like $1.99 for the two songs. And came in a little cardboard sleeve. It wasn't as elaborate as a plastic case that your cassettes came in. It was a little bit, you know, more utilitarian and basic. So I remember going up there. Maybe they were 99 cents. And I don't know if I heard the song before or if I just happened to take a chance on it by myself, but I bought, at age 12, 1991, I think the single and the song came out in November, was One by the band U2 off of the album Octoon Baby. Now, this song, I mean, what can I say? I must have had good musical taste in the very beginning to pick out One. Because this, in my opinion, as I'm older now, looking back and listening to music for the past 30-plus years, this might be the greatest modern song ever written. I mean, I wouldn't go out and say it's the greatest song ever written, but in the modern era, modern day, modern age, I think this is the greatest song ever written, just coincidentally called One. It is number one. And this song saved U2 from breaking up. They were on the verge of breaking up when they were making this album in Berlin, and it was cold, it was the winter time, and they were changing directions and creating a new sound and reinventing themselves and going through all sorts of turmoil and tension as a band. And it, I guess, you know, they just wrote this one night and they figured, you know what, this is worth it for us to stay together. This song is so potent and so powerful. And so I remember grabbing this cassette single, taking it home and listening to it in my headphones over and over again. I also listened to it in the car, I'm sure, a million times. And this song just moved me to no end. I mean, the very beginning, that opening guitar sound from The Edge just sounds like otherworldly. It sounds like no other. I don't know how someone can create that sound with a guitar and those effects. Even to this day, it sounds mystical, and it must be a certain chord or a certain tempo or something that I like, that has almost a melancholy vibe that just pulls me in, because this is similar to Drive by the Cars. But that sound of One just sounds sad and somber and lonely, desolate, isolated. There's just something so strange about that song, yet so beautiful at the same time. And this also would have been the era of MTV emerging and taking over the world with music videos that were so powerful to complement the song. And I watched the music video at a young age, age 12, a million times, over and over again, and being absolutely awestruck by it and compelled and mesmerized. And I didn't even know what I was watching. I just knew that this was art. This was some form of art that, in my young mind, I could not fully grapple or understand or wrap my mind around what I was watching. The mix of the images, sounds. This is Bono. I remember Bono sitting at the bar, you know, smoking a cigarette with drinks in front of him, and flashbacks, and there'd be quick cuts of females around him and cigarette smoke, and the band walking down the street, all these quick cuts, and it would go back and forth between black and white and color. And I knew it was it was compelling imagery. I didn't know if it was good or bad, if I was allowed to watch this. I didn't know what type of feelings it was giving me. I knew that it was art. And it was so powerful to see the marriage of imagery with sound with this particular classic music video. Now, if you look back, it's so classic, 1991. It's so chained down to that era of Achtung Baby, that era of the band, which is so special. And Bono here is 31 years old, and even as I'm saying this now, Bono is 62, so it was exactly half of his life ago that this album and this video came out, and he was such a young man. I'm looking at now, I remember being 12 years old and thinking, wow, that dude is handsome. He was beautiful. I think that Bono was at the end of the peak of his beauty. I have a theory that we peak in beauty of age 22 to age 28. That is the moment when our lives, our physical beauty is at the absolute highest. At our peak, a flower blooming and blossoming, both male and female, we peak during that decade in our 20s. At the height of our absolute perfect beauty in life, from a physical standpoint, flawless skin, flawless energy and ability, and a lot of things kind of combined at once. So Bono is striking. His hair is jet black, kind of like thick, almost like Elvis. It has like a blue sheen to it, you know, like in the comic books. And he's probably wearing all black leather and shiny, and just looks iconic. He looks like a striking man at age 31, and that video is so memorable and tied to the song. And, you know, I remember listening to it as a 12-year-old, and I didn't understand what the heck he was talking about. You know, it's got powerful lyrics. And I remember one line stuck out to me as a 12-year-old. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was powerful. I knew it meant something deep. And it said, love is a temple. Love the higher law. And I just thought, wow, that love the higher law. I don't know, but that sounds really significant. And we're one. We get to carry each other. One, but we're not the same. We hurt each other and we'll do it again. I mean, like, I just was mesmerized by these lyrics. I didn't know the full weight of what they meant, if it was some sort of relationship with a man and a woman or relationship with man and God. It was heavy. It was deep. It was profound. It was artful. It was poetic. It was sparse and economic. I just was so taken aback by this song. And then later on, it's so beautiful, the memory I have. Me and Jeff Black were at somebody's house at a party. It might have been his house, in his front yard. We were sitting in his car. And by this time, I probably had the CD, because I remember sitting in the car next to him, with him. Maybe he'll remember this. And we listened to this song on repeat over and over over again, one by U2. And it never got old, and every time it started again, we were like, oh man, this song is amazing. And we would listen to it again and again. Sometimes we would talk through it, so other times we wouldn't. We just would listen in silence and let the music wash over us. And that's a really good memory I have of listening to this song repeatedly with my buddy Jeff. So this song is powerful. I have good taste. I love this song, and I picked it up and somehow stumbled upon it and found it and recognized it was important in 1991 as a 12-year-old. And this song is one of the important songs in my life, and I know you will dig it too.